Bible says in Psalm 100 verse 5, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." When you say God is good, are you saying that because that is the expected response? Or are you saying that because you have seen the goodness of God in your life? Well, let's try it again. God is good. And all the time. And as they say in some parts of Africa, and that's His nature. I am very, very grateful to God for this, what I consider an exalted privilege to join you for this camp meeting in this manner. I am deeply grateful to the Michigan Conference for the invitation, which came specifically through Elder Mitchell. And I promise God that I will do my best to glorify Him, to lift up the truth without hesitation, and to try to be a blessing to His people. I bring you greetings from all over the world, particularly Africa and Southeast Asia, which is where I usually go. I've asked God to give me those two areas as my evangelistic territory, Africa and Southeast Asia. Nothing against Europe. God bless Europe. But we have different burdens for different areas of the world. Wherever I go, there are people who love God. Can you say amen? There are Seventh-day Adventists who still love Ellen White. Can you say amen? There are Seventh-day Adventists who still regard God's law as unchanging and unchangeable. Can you say amen? There are Seventh-day Adventists who still believe in the health message. Can you say amen? There are Seventh-day Adventists like you who believe that this is God's remnant church. And I have to say that because there are many Adventists who feel differently. My message for today, the Virgin Mother. What did I say? Virgin. The Virgin Mother. Before I begin, I'll ask you to do three favors for me. They're very simple, two of them. One of them is enormously difficult. And the difficulty lies in the fact that research has discovered that there is a growing problem of electronic addiction. People cannot turn off their phones. I was watching something on YouTube a few days ago. This man was literally on his phone. Can I just walk in this direction, camera people? Is it okay? All right. He was on his phone, as most of the world is, and he's doing whatever he's doing. It's quite obvious he wasn't texting Jesus. And there was a snake. What did I say? A snake lying on the sidewalk, nicely curled, and he walked and he stepped right on the snake. And the snake very appropriately bit him. And he jumped and he shook his leg, fortunately for him, and because of the mercies of God, the snake was not poisonous. I've also seen a clip of a young lady, I believe somewhere in China, and she's on her phone, paying no attention to the rest of the world, and she walked right into a hole. There are people on their phones, they're hit by cars. I was conducting an evangelistic series in Los Angeles a few years ago, and this young man was assigned to drive me back and forth. And while he's driving, he has the phone right on the seat. And every red light, he's on the phone. I said, "Listen, when I get out of the car, you can do that. While I'm in the car, focus on driving, please." And he put the phone away. When we got to the church, I said, "Now, having put the phone away, did you suffer any damage?" And he smiled. Now, why did I go through that mini sermon? I want you right now to turn off your phones. And I'm not joking. But I must add the word, please. Go ahead. Don't look at me. Turn your phones off. Let me set the example by turning mine off. My iPhone 5, it's off. Are yours off? Double check. Why do I say that? Too many times I've been preaching and a phone goes off. At the end of the service, someone comes to apologize. The person says, "I thought it was off." Are they off in the presence of God, yes or no? That's the weakest yes I've heard since 1844. Are they off? Is there anyone rebelling against this request? All right. I don't think you appreciate how serious I am. God does not play. When God came down on Sinai, he told Moses, "There shall not a hand touch the mountain, set bounds, whether man or beast, it shall surely die." That included old people, young people, babies. Any human being that crosses this line is dead. God loves reverence. Phones off. Favor number two, pray for me while I speak and simply say, "Lord, put your words in that man's mouth." That's based on Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 9, which says, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth." I want to speak God's words. Jesus says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." That cannot be said about my words. Please pray and ask God, put his words in my mouth. And favor number three, it's also a biblical request. I want you to think. Isaiah 1:18, come now, finish the verse, let us reason together. Three simple favors, let's pray. Father in heaven, I bow in your presence, dear God, in need of help. And I mean in desperate need of help. I am a sinner, Father. I take no joy in that, but I am a sinner. I am weak. I am dirt. I am dust. I am this earthen vessel, dear God, whom you chose to deliver this message. I did not ask for it. But you know my heart, Father. I love to lift you up by lifting up the truth. And so, dear God, for the sake of your own glory, your word says in Isaiah 42 verse 8, "I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another." So, Father, take all the glory, all of it, but give to us the blessings. Put your words in my mouth, dear God. Put the spirit of reverence in your people's hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear God, place this place under the protection of the blood of Christ. Every meeting, every building, every tent, every car, every guard, everyone associated, place us under the blood of Christ. Now, dear Father, let your spirit of truth work on every heart. Let that spirit tear down any Jericho wall of stubbornness, dear God, that the truth may go in. Speak through me again, I pray. Not only to me, Father, but wherever your remnant people are engaged in worship and men and women stand to deliver the word, bless them, I pray. And I thank you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Let God's people say, amen and amen. What's our subject? The Virgin Mother, Revelation 17, reading from verse 1. And I'll read from the King James Version of the Bible. While you're trying to find Revelation, let me point out something that's a grievance of mine. I'll ask you two questions. Answer me loudly. What is this? What is this? This is not a Bible. It makes no difference to me what it contains electronically. This is not a Bible. Now, why do I say that? You know, one of the gifts of the church ought to be the gift of discernment. And I have noticed, I don't have that gift, but I have noticed, that Adventists can no longer find the books of the Bible with the speed with which we used to. Are you following me? Why? Because everything is either on the screen or on a phone or on an iPad. If you're walking down the street and you're texting, it's highly unlikely anyone will assume you're on your way to church or on your way from church. If you're walking down the road without even reading it, just holding this, every assumption will be favorable. He or she is either on his or her way to church or coming from church. Must be a Christian, must be a reliable person, must be trustworthy. These are not the assumptions that are made when people see this. They may ask, is that an iPhone, a Samsung, or a Nokia, or a BlackBerry, or a Blueberry? Not, is the person a nice person? Listen to me carefully. When you refuse to carry one of these, you deny God a simple, wordless witness. Someone may say, what church do you attend? The Seventh-day Adventist Church. May I come? I guarantee you for the next 100 years, no one will ask you that if they see you with a phone. What book did I say? What book did I say? What chapter? Reading from what verse? And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold, precious stones, and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Now, if you have the King James Version, read verse 5 with me nice and loud. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. What's our subject? Now, Revelation has a series of opposites. We have the heavenly Trinity, and we have the hellish Trinity. We have God the Father, heaven. We have Satan, hell. We have Jesus Christ, heaven. We have the beast, hell. We have the Holy Ghost, heaven. We have the false prophet, hell. We have Jerusalem, and we have Babylon. We have worship God, and we have worship the beast. Someone said, for everything God has, Satan has a counterfeit. Listen again to Revelation 5 and think. When you read the Bible, read it microscopically. What do I mean by microscopically? Look for the little pieces of meaning that would ordinarily escape your attention by a hasty reading. Listen again. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. Why is Babylon the mother of harlots? Because she is called the great whore. A whore, a harlot, can only produce little harlots. Is that clear? Six of you said amen. That's not good. When I ask you a question, answer me. It's courtesy, and it helps your guest preacher to feel at home. Can you say amen?
Amen.
A harlot can only produce harlots. Is that clear?
Amen.
All right. Two cats produce kittens. Two cats cannot produce a pig. Now, this is a biblical law. It's a law of science. Genesis 1, verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit, after his kind. Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Verse 24 of Genesis 1. We produce after our kind physically and spiritually. Physical laws have spiritual parallels. Ellen White writes in Child Guidance, page 45, paragraph 3, the whole natural world is designed to be an interpreter of the things of God. Designed. Deliberately, God has placed in the natural world parallels at the spiritual level. same book, Child Guidance, page 46, paragraph 3, she writes, "In the natural world, God has placed in the hands of the children of men the key to unlock the treasure house of His Word. The unseen is illustrated by the seen. Divine wisdom, eternal truth, infinite grace are understood by the things that God has made. For every physical, there is a spiritual parallel. Now, the physical says cows produce cows. The spiritual says the same thing. Harlots produce, finish it for me, harlots. After its kind." Let's go to Revelation 12. Let's read verse 17. I wasn't told when I'm supposed to stop. I say that seriously. It's my fault I didn't ask. When do I stop? 12:15, what time is it now? Okay, 12:15, let's move fast. Revelation 12, verse 17, we know that verse very well, say it without looking. "And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed." Now, seed is no different from what we read, Revelation 17, 5, the mother of harlots. Babylon has seed, and the seed are little harlots. The woman has seed. Are you with me? But as the harlot produces little harlots, that woman must produce after her kind. Now, since Revelation has opposites, the harlot in Revelation 17 is contrasted with the virgin mother of Revelation 12. Can you say amen? So that her seed must also be what? This is the Michigan Conference. Don't embarrass us. We're on radio and television, internet, and all sorts of things. Listen, listen. The harlot produces what? Little harlots. The mother harlot. The mother of harlots. The mother virgin must produce what? Virgins. Why am I saying that? Because our theme is Grow Michigan. What do we intend to grow? We will grow what we plant. Are you with me? Now, we are to plant a crop that produces biblical, doctrinal virgins. You're not listening. You're sleeping with your eyes open. Babylon, and I must be repetitious, it's a teaching tool, produces harlots. The woman of Revelation 12, the virgin mother, must produce virgins. So that if Pastor Howard conducts an evangelistic series in Grand Rapids or wherever, those new members must be little virgins. Why do I say that? That's what Jesus said. And you say to me, where did he say that? And I say to you, go to Matthew 28 now. Matthew 28, what's our subject? The virgin mother. Matthew 28, reading from verse 18. Do you have that? I finish in 25 minutes. You must find the books quickly. If you found it, say amen. If you're still looking, say amen. Okay. Matthew 28, reading from verse 18, the Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying," read with me now, "all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Keep reading now. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Stop. Let's look at that microscopically. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father." So teaching is necessary prior to baptism. Teaching is essential after baptism. "Teaching them to observe." Give me another word for observe. It's a four-letter word, my favorite word. Give me another word for observe. It begins with an O, just like observe. Obey. "Teaching them to observe," what's the next word? Now, if Pastor Howard or I or someone else conducts an evangelistic series and teaches them to observe all things, the product will be a harvest of souls just like we are. Can you say amen? So that the virgin doctrine will produce virgins. Yeah, this is going over some people's heads. And that's not my intent. Let me be more practical. During this year of evangelism, this next year, any other year, or every year should be evangelism. All the results of our efforts should be virgins. So that the members come out of that baptism and out of the subsequent teaching, believing that God's word is inerrant. Can you say amen? That's a virgin attitude. They come out of the baptism and that instruction believing that Ellen White exercised a valid prophetic gift. Can you say amen? They come out of that teaching believing that the atonement did not end at the cross. Can you say amen? They come out of that teaching believing that this is God's remnant church. Can you say amen? They come out of that teaching believing it is possible to conquer sin. Can you say amen? They come out of that teaching believing that God's law will never end. Can you say amen? They are virgins. Have not been defiled with women. Let's look at the creation of a virgin. What's our subject? The virgin mother. Let's see the virgin mother giving birth to a little virgin. Acts 9, reading from verse 1. Our subject, the virgin mother. Who has prayed and said, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth? Has anyone offered that prayer yet? God bless you. God bless your families. God bless your health. God bless your wealth, and God bless your influence. What book did I say? What chapter? Reading from what verse? From what version? A little smile on the Sabbath is quite appropriate. Can you say amen? The Bible says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, keep your mind on this way, whether they were men or women, Paul did not discriminate. He might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Pause. Jesus Christ identifies so closely with the virgin church. Are you listening? That he regards Paul's persecution of the church as persecution of him. But listen to his attitudes to Babylon. Come out. Don't stay. I do not identify with harlots. Come out. And so he said, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Let me say something potentially controversial. When the church is what the church should be, anyone looking at the church should be looking at Jesus. Was that controversial? All right. Let me say it again. By pointing your mind, don't go there, just listen. Jesus answered and said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Now, that's the relationship between Jesus and the Father. But if you study the Gospel of John, the relationship between Christ and the Father is precisely the relationship that must exist between us and Christ. And so Jesus said, you're persecuting me. Verse 6, and he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Observe that Paul asked Jesus two questions. Who art thou, Lord? Let me see who's thinking. Those of you on that side. Did Jesus answer the question yes or no? You're weak. This side, pray for that side. This side. Did Jesus answer the first question Paul put to him, yes or no? Yes. Center aisle, row. Did Jesus answer the second question Paul put to him, yes or no? Wrong. Well-dressed, but wrong. Good-looking, but wrong. Let us go back now and read verse 6. Read how? How should you read? Microscopically. Listen to Paul. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, read the question for me now. What wilt thou have me to do? Give me the details. Listen to Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, arise, and go into the city, finish the verse, and someone else will tell you. I'm not telling you. Personally. Someone else will tell you what I want. We don't have a connection at all. That's sad. Are you following me? Is that the truth on the Sabbath? It should be the truth every day. Listen again. Listen with your heart. Arise. Go into the city. And every question you have will be answered by a group of people authorized to speak for me. So that their word, finish my thoughts, are my words. Their instruction, finish my thoughts, are my instructions. God must have a church on the earth. When that church speaks, it is the voice of God. Amen. And that church is this one. Amen. Despite the efforts of many of us to distance ourselves from the concept of God's remnant people, what an insult to God to have Him call you to be a member of a special group different from any other. And you despise that privilege. You go into the city. Verse 7. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice and seeing no man. And Paul arose from the earth. When his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. What was Ananias? A disciple. What's a disciple? A follower of Jesus. A member of a group of other disciples. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Justice or Judas, for once called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And I've seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Now God tells Paul or Saul, you go. Someone will speak for me. But in order for that person's word to be authoritative, Jesus goes ahead of Paul and tells Ananias, sets him up, prepares him for Paul. Are you following me? There are some things God wants us to do for him. Verse 13, then answered Ananias, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, verse 17, and entered into the house, and putting his hand on him said, Brother Saul, instant acceptance. When God identified this murderer as mine, Ananias laid down whatever oppositions he had, and he called him Brother Saul. Whom Christ accepts, we must not reject. You're not listening. Are you listening? He said, Brother Saul, you see that wino in the gutter? God has stole some evangelist. He's a chosen vessel unto me. You see that prostitute on the streets of Detroit? God has told the pastor of Detroit Northwest, I have a woman to do a special work for me. I want you to get her ready. And so Ananias looked at this murderer. And what does he call him? Brother Saul. The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, have sent me. Your credentials must be, Jesus sent me. And if Jesus doesn't send you, read my thoughts, don't go. Listen to me carefully. God does not play. God parted the Red Sea. He told the Israelites, come. Are you with me? They came and they crossed how? Safely. He did not tell the Egyptians, come. If God hasn't called you, finish my thoughts. Don't go. And if he sends you, don't stay. The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, have sent me that thou mightst receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, and immediately they fell from his eyes as they had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. I love the way verse 19 ends. Then was Saul certain days with whom? The disciples. Give me another word for that. The church. What do we have? Here is the church at Damascus. Producing what? A little virgin. What was the virgin's name? This is a male virgin. Paul. Saul. If you read the story in chapter 22, we have some more information. Let's go to chapter 22 quickly. It's 12 o'clock or 2 minutes after. Why does time fly so quickly when you're preaching? I don't understand that at all. Do you have Acts 22? Read from verse 12. We pick it up with the introduction of Ananias. This is Paul giving the account. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law. Now, let me put this on your consciousness. We can assume from Ananias' life that the other members of that church were similarly devout. Are you following me? Having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Paul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers. Now Ananias doesn't say the God of my father. He says the God of our fathers, including the rest of the church, hath chosen thee that thou shouldst know his will. What is the will of God? Yes. But what is the condensed expression of the will of God? For those of you in English, the Precy version, if that word is still popular, of the will of God. Listen to the servant of God. Signs of the Times, September 24, 1894, paragraph 4. It is the prerogative of God alone to prescribe the duty of men and angels. The will of God is a perfect will and must be obeyed as it is set forth in His holy law. Because every requirement is just and is set forth by infinite wisdom. The law of God should be obeyed even though there were no authority to enforce it and no reward for its obedience. The highest interest of men and angels are conserved in obeying the law of God. God's will, as expressed in His law, is the supreme will, and no invention, no device of man can take its place. Obedience to the commandments of men instead of obedience to the commandments of God will be as abomination in the sight of God. For that which God requires is essential to the highest good of His subjects and is therefore essential for the glory of God. What is she saying? God's will, tightly expressed, is found in the Ten Commandments. Obedience to the Ten Commandments is not only a blessing to us, but the higher outcome is that it brings glory to God, because the obedience of faith produces in us the character of Jesus Christ. And so God gets the glory for producing a saint out of a sinner. And so Ananias told Saul that thou shouldst know his will and see that just one. Who was the just one? Jesus. And shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Here's a church giving birth to a virgin. And Saul went off into the deserts of Arabia, personally taught by Jesus. He tells us in Galatians 1 from verse 11, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation." There are about two people that God taught directly, Paul and Abraham. But despite the fact that Paul was personally taught by Jesus, in Galatians 2 verse 1 he says, "Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and I took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles." Paul went to the leaders and said, "Here is what I preach. Is this correct?" But who taught Paul? Jesus. But the church that's obedient to Christ can decide what is acceptable to Christ. Let me rephrase what I just said so you can pass the quiz. When a church says what Jesus says, the church is speaking for Christ. Am I clear? And so the church can look at what Paul taught, listen to what he taught. Having been satisfied, he was teaching what was correct. They gave to him the right hand of fellowship. The church recognized these teachings that Paul is spreading, they are virgin teachings. My brothers and sisters, we are the virgin mother. And we must produce little virgins. If I conduct a series of meetings and the church that emerges engages itself in, what do you call that thing, spiritual formation. Guided imagery. I was preaching somewhere, a certain church on the face of the earth. And a member was chatting with me and she said, "Thank you for your message," and whatever else she said. I said, "What church do you attend?" She said, "I attend a church where the members come and just sit and say nothing." I said, "Sister, today is the Sabbath. You mustn't make jokes." She said, No. "We come, we sit in a circle, look at each other, and say nothing." I said, "Do you have a pastor?" "Yes." "Is he paid by the conference?" "Yes." "That's all you do?" "Yes." And then they go home. My brothers and sisters, we are the Virgin Mother. Or we are descendants of the Virgin Mother. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God. Now, if we keep God's commandments, we are engaging in the whole duty of man. Because the wisest man said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments." Finish the verse. "For this is the whole duty of man," and by the way, of angels. And so I call upon you this morning in the name of Jesus, who himself set up the Virgin Church to counter the mother harlot. Will you not make a commitment to stand by the truths that God has committed to this church? Will you not do all you can to see that the purity of our teachings is not contaminated by modern theories, which are socially popular but biblically anathema? My brothers and sisters, Jesus prayed. He prayed, sanctify them how? The truth. I stand before you and I say to God, Father, give me the courage to preach virgin truth wherever I go, regardless of cost to me. I read somewhere in Ellen White, I believe it's Testimonies, Volume 1, page 321, paragraph 1 or 2, she says, in this fearful time, just before Christ is to come the second time, God's faithful preachers are to bear a still more pointed testimony than was borne by John the Baptist. A responsible, important work is before them. And those who preach smooth things, God will not acknowledge as his own. A fearful war is upon them. I don't want the war of God upon me. I don't need to be brutal and harsh, but I want to be pure. I want to be direct. I want to be plain. The 7 days, the Sabbath, I don't care what you see. Jesus is divine, I don't care what you say to me. Ellen White's gift is valid, I don't care what you say to me. Christ is coming back, I don't care what you say. It is possible to conquer sin, I don't care what you say. The Holy Ghost is a divine being, I don't care what you say. And God has a church on this earth, I don't care what you say. How many of you will say, Father, give me the heart, give me the courage to stand for, live by, and preach virgin truth? Can I see your right hand? Stand up with us. Virgin truth. Because we are the product of the Virgin Mother. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you, dear God, for truth. It is life. It sanctifies. Jesus himself identifies himself as the truth. In John 14:6. In Revelation 19, verse 13, the Bible says, and he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, and the Word of God is truth. Father in heaven, help us to understand that error, however popular, sanctifies no one. Give us, dear God, a love for truth. A love for truth regardless of how inconvenient that truth may be. Help all of us to understand that evangelism is not what a pastor does. Evangelism must be a lifestyle that distinguishes every member of the church. And so, Father, bless your sons and your daughters gathered before you. Forgive us for our weaknesses, God. Forgive us for being so focused on our daily survival, we forget that Christ is coming again. Forgive us for misrepresenting by our lives what we proclaim by our mouths. And in the name of your Son, who conquered death, hell, sin, the grave, and Satan, sustain us, accept our recommitment, dear God. And let us be the reason why multiple thousands enter your kingdom. Until that day, Father, keep us faithful unto death. I pray from my heart, dear God, in Jesus' name and for his sake, that all God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.